And now, 88.9 and 96.5 FM WDCR brings you The Cradle and the Convert. Join your hosts, Dave Slade and Mark Bartholomew, for a conversation about local issues with a Catholic perspective.
Hello and welcome to The Cradle and the Convert for Thursday, December 22nd. We're 3 days away from Christmas, so you better have your Christmas shopping done. I bet it's going to be a mess out there at the malls. We're glad to have you today. We're going to have a discussion about Father Emil Capon. He was a chaplain during the Korean War, the process has begun for sainthood for him. And our good friend, Bishop Carl A. Kimmy, the Bishop of the Diocese of Wichita, is going to join us by phone this morning to let us know where the process stands. My co-host and guest in the studio is Mike Slade, and the voice may sound familiar. He's my son, and he's going to talk a little bit about Father Capon this morning, and we'll get to that right after this. You know, Mike, the days are getting longer, starting today,
absolutely.
And I think I mentioned this on a show a couple of weeks ago that John the Baptist, who was the forerunner of Jesus, told his disciples that I must decrease and Jesus must increase. And it's funny that on John the Baptist's birthday in June, the days begin to decrease. And on Jesus' birthday, or a couple days after, the days start to increase. So those of you at home suffering with seasonal affective disorder, take heart. The days are getting longer, starting today by a minute or two. And to me, that's a great sign of hope because, man, I know everybody just around here loves winter. And over the weekend, we had that mess of ice, and what a nightmare that was. My driveway is still coated in ice.
We got back. We actually went up north to see my wife's family, the Hinkles, and it was snowy up there and quite cold. But I was shocked when I got back and our driveway was nothing but a sheet of ice. And with a three-month-old, I told my wife, Katie, I said, let's just go ahead and we're not going to mess with this driveway until I can get out there and salt it. It's way too slick, and that's all we need is someone to slip and fall, and that would not be good with a little one in their arms. So.
Yeah, that's the truth. Yeah, it was quite a strange little storm that blew through. It was more of a mist than a rain, but it froze and everything was solid. A lot of accidents, a lot of falls. The hospitals were busy with people falling. I saw an interesting little thing on the news about work boots now that they make that have carbide in the soles.
Really?
Yeah, it's almost like sandpaper, I guess, and it would help you get grip in that stuff, but... the stuff I had on my driveway, there was no gripping, that's for sure.
It was a solid sheet.
Yes, it was. So, have you got all your Christmas shopping done?
All mine is done, yes. The wrapping is not done, but the shopping is done.
Well, good. I'm about to start mine. You know, I think you're aware of this. I go to Walgreens on Christmas Eve and do all my Christmas shopping, either at Walgreens or CVS. You know, you get that as seen on TV stuff. Well, you know, because you get it every year.
Oh, yeah, exactly. And who doesn't love a good gift card every now and then, too?
There you go. Or Chia Pet.
Well, that's the gift that keeps on giving.
It really is. All right. We're going to take a quick break here for some underwriting sponsorships, and then we're going to be back, and we're going to be discussing Chaplain Emil Capon, a hero in World War II. And we're going to do all that when we come back here on The Cradle and the Convert right after this.
And now WDCR presents reflections for our fourth week of Advent entitled An Advent Examination and Take Time to Be Aware by Edward Hayes. Advent is the perfect time to clear and prepare the way. Advent is a winter training camp for those who desire peace. By reflection and prayer, by reading and meditation, we can make our hearts a place where a blessing of peace would desire to abide and where the birth of the Prince of Peace might take place. Take time to be aware that in the very midst of our busy preparations for the celebration of Christ's birth in ancient Bethlehem, Christ is reborn in the Bethlehems of our homes and daily lives. Take time, slow down, be still. Be awake to the divine mystery that looks so common and so ordinary, yet is wondrously present. An old abbot was fond of saying, "The devil is always the most active on the highest feast days." The supreme trick of Old Scratch is to have us so busy decorating, preparing food, practicing music, and cleaning in preparation for the gift of Christmas that we actually miss the coming of Christ. Hurt feelings, anger, impatience, injured egos, the list of clouds that busyness creates to blind us to the birth of Christ can be long, but it is familiar to us all.
There will come a day when each of us will be asked to review the movie of our life and give an account to God. We will sorrowfully relive the bad times and joyfully revisit the good. Thankfully, no matter what you've done, there is hope. Since Jesus came not to condemn the world, but to save it. So if you've been away from church for a while, we invite you to come home and find the peace that only comes from God. Visit CatholicsComeHome.org.
Okay, we're back here on the Cradle and the Convert. And of course, this morning hour of the show is underwritten by our friend Gary Birschbach at McDonald's. And we appreciate them being on board with us. Michael, we're going to have a little discussion this morning about a saint, soon to be saint, we hope, that came to our attention a couple years ago. Therese Allen, who is the associate pastoral associate at St. James and Patrick, let me know about this this man, this priest, this chaplain who was killed during the Korean War, and that his cause for sainthood was being forwarded on by Bishop Carl Kimmy over in Wichita. And I started doing some research. I got a couple books. One book is called Shepherd in Combat Boots, and the other one is The Miracles of Father Capon. And I got to talking to you about it, and we were both very interested in learning more about Chaplain Emil Capon.
And I have actually done so because I have a specific devotion to him. I've been praying for his intercession for help with an injury that I've been dealing with. But I will get into exactly who Father Capon is here. He was born on April 20th, 1906, in East Central Kansas in a small town called Pilsen. Most people probably are not familiar with it, but it's 72 miles north of Wichita, which our friend Bishop Kimmy is the bishop of Wichita, Kansas, in that diocese. And it's 161 miles west-southwest of Kansas City. So when you think of the breadbasket of the United States, that's right where he grew up in. He went to Conception Abbey Seminary College in Conception, Missouri, graduated in 1936, and he also attended Kenrick Theological Seminary in St. Louis, graduating in 1940.
A lot of our priests go to Kenrick, don't they?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, that's a seminary near St. Louis.
And then after World War II, he attended Catholic University of America in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, he was a chaplain during World War II as well as Korea, right?
That is correct.
In the Burma Theater?
Yes, yes. He was ordained a priest on June 9th, 1940. And in 1943, he was appointed an auxiliary chaplain at Harrington Army Airfield. And from there on, he decided that the chaplaincy was something he would be very interested in, and actually entered the U.S. Army Chaplain School at Fort Devens, Massachusetts, in August of 1944, and graduated in October then of 1944.
And the war was still on.
World War II was still ongoing. He began his chaplaincy at Camp Wheeler in Georgia. He and one other chaplain served 19,000 service members.
Wow.
If you can believe that. That's
holy cow.
I mean, if you think about some of the larger parishes, you know, in our diocese, even, you know, Chicago, one or two priests to serve all of those, the needs of all of those people.
Well, and when you think, too, that those 19,000 troops were being prepared to be deployed either to Europe or to the Pacific to engage in battle, they probably wanted to get some of that priest's time.
And they did, and I'll get into a little bit more of that, in his service in Korea and all of that, and just exactly how much he meant to the troops. He was then sent to the Burma Theater, like you mentioned earlier, and he was there from April of 1945 to May of 1946, and he ministered to service members, soldiers, and missions in the area that covered a 2,000-mile territory. So the Army never skimped on giving Father Capon plenty of responsibility from the 19,000 service members to 2,000 square miles to cover. He was promoted to captain in January of 1946 and then released from active duty in July of 1946. With the outbreak of the Korean War, or the Korean conflict, he returned to active duty in September of 1948 at Fort Bliss in El Paso, Texas. From El Paso, in January of 1950, he was moved and stationed near Mount Fuji in Japan. And then on July 15th, 1950, about 7 months later, he left Tokyo Bay for Korea. In August of 1950, he became chaplain of the 3rd Battalion, 8th Cavalry, and crossed the 38th parallel on October 9th, 1950. He often celebrated Mass using just the hood of his Jeep as a makeshift altar. And he would also frequently lose his trailer, Jeep, and Mass kit due to enemy activity and enemy fire.
Now, a Mass kit, that's the host and some wine and things to use at Mass that they can consecrate. Probably an altar cloth.
Correct.
A few things like that. Okay.
And when you're in combat, and I can't really speak of this personally, but in the readings that I've read with Father Capon, I mean, when you're in combat and it's, you know, time to go, if you can't get your Jeep, if you can't get your Mass kit, if you can't get your trailer, you go, because you're there for the men, and they need you more than they need that Jeep or that trailer.
Yeah.
So he often stated that the prayers of others were the only thing keeping him alive. He began, Father Capon was captured at the Battle of Yusan near Yusan, North Korea on the 2nd of November, 1950. While the evacuation order was given, Father Capon chose to stay behind, praying, baptizing, and administering last rites to the injured and dying U.S. soldiers.
So he stayed on the battlefield with the men that weren't able to bivouac out of there.
Correct. He was ordered to evacuate and refused that order to stay with the men.
Wow.
When the U.S. lines finally broke, Father Capon noticed an injured Chinese officer among the wounded. He successfully negotiated for the safe surrender of the American forces. Father Capon then pushed aside an enemy soldier preparing to execute Sergeant First Class Herbert Miller. That, in and of itself, in the Korean War, was something that Father Capon could have been instantly executed for. The order from the communist soldiers was, if they can't walk and they can't march to the camp, that they would be executed right then.
Wow.
After his capture, Father Capon and other members of his regiment were forced to march then 87 miles to a temporary prison camp in Sambakal. He was later transferred a short distance away to the permanent camp at Pyoktong. He persuaded service members to carry the wounded, which again was against communist orders. At the camp, he raised morale, dug latrines, mediated disputes, and even gave away his own rations. So if you think about that, in the spirit of Christmas, and we were speaking earlier when the show opened about Christmas shopping and all that stuff, to give away your own rations, the only thing potentially keeping you alive in a situation like that, to keep morale up among the men, is truly a heroic, not only gesture, I mean, it's a heroic thing to do.
Yeah.
He even was known, and this is something you don't typically think of a priest as a thief or someone stealing anything, but he was also known to steal coffee, tea, and even a pot to make it in from the communist guards, as well as smuggling dysentery medicine to a Dr. Sidney Essenstein, who was a doctor in the camp.
You know, in the Army, they call that a dog robber.
Right.
That was a guy that could go out and scrounge and find stuff, and Father Capon was an excellent one.
And, you know, again, you were talking about giving rations away, but even the smallest thing on a cold morning here in the United States, where we enjoy everything we enjoy because of our service members, a warm cup of coffee can really mean a lot. So if you can imagine the morale boost that the service members would get from just having a cup of coffee,
yeah,
or a cup of tea, something that maybe you could get at home, and maybe just for a split second, you take the first sip of that coffee, and it can give you some kind of comfort.
Now, he ended up in what they called a hospital, right?
Right, and that's when I have hospital. If you could see me on camera right now, I'm using air quotes,
yeah,
because it was anything but a hospital.
Yeah, nothing like the one we're in right now.
No,
it was really a death house, wasn't it?
It was basically a room where he was left alone to die. It wasn't a hospital in the sense where he would go to receive any kind of treatment. It was just basically got him out of the guard's hair, and them knowing the state that he was in, was unable to really, you know, try to make any kind of escape attempt or anything like that.
Yeah, he was really ill at the time, right dying.
In fact, he was suffering from dysentery and pneumonia, and he then developed a blood clot in his leg. So when you start talking about, like I said, the communists just not caring, they would look and say, you know, this priest, this chaplain, lost cause. We're not going to waste any resources. We're not going to do anything. And plus, you know, I can't speak to say if they knew of any of the things that Father Capon was doing, but in keeping the morale up of the troops, I'm sure that was not what the communists did not make him a model prisoner.
So basically he died at the hands of the North Koreans and the Chinese during this war. And ultimately, just last year, he was awarded the Congressional Medal of Honor by President Obama. Isn't that right?
He was. And I have an actual list of the awards that he won for service to his country. Father Capon was awarded quite a few commendations, and of course, you know, most of them posthumously. They are the Medal of Honor, and that was actually upgraded from a Distinguished Service Cross.
And that's the highest medal awarded to the servicemen.
Correct. The Legion of Merit, a Bronze Star with V device, a Purple Heart, American Campaign Medal, Asiatic Pacific Campaign Medal with Bronze Service Star, World War II Victory Medal, Army of Occupation Medal with Japan Clasp, National Defense Service Medal, Korean Service Medal with two Bronze Service Stars, Combat Infantryman Badge, Republic of Korea Presidential Unit Citation, the United Nations Korean Medal, Republic of Korea War Service Medal. And then obviously one of the highest honors that was the Medal of Honor from the United States, and possibly the highest honor that anyone could bestow is his possible canonization.
Yeah, you know, when you think about someone who's being considered for sainthood and also has received the Congressional Medal of Honor, that's amazing. What we're going to do pretty quick here is we're going to talk to Bishop Kimmy and get his take on this. I want to ask him about what happened to the remains of Father Capon. We've only got a second or two to finish up this segment. You got anything else important to share before we move on?
Just very quickly, there have been a couple miracles possibly associated with Father Capon. In 2008, there was a 20-year-old named Chase Keel, and he had a severe head injury, and his family prayed for the intercession of Father Capon, and he survived and was healed. In 2011, there was a young man by the name of Nick De La Sega, and he collapsed at a 5K race in Pittsburgh, Kansas. And even though he appeared dead on the scene to EMTs, he was resuscitated. De La Sega's cousin, Jonah, witnessed Nick's collapse and immediately prayed for Father Capon's intercession, and he made a recovery. And the really interesting twist on this story, if you will, is that the 5K was in memory of a man named Dylan Meyer, and he was a young man who passed away shortly before leaving the United States to go to Korea to teach English.
Oh, my. That is something. Well, there's no such thing as a coincidence. We know that.
Absolutely.
That is really something. Well, we know to be considered blessed, they need to confirm one miracle, and to be sanctified into sainthood, I think it requires two. So those of you out there in the listening audience that may be requesting God to grant you some sort of a miracle, Father Emil Capon would be a great person to intercede on your behalf. So you might do a little research on him, check him out. We're going to talk a little bit more about him here with Bishop Kimmy as soon as we come back after this break.
This is Dale Alquist with a Chesterton Minute on Relevant Radio. Have you ever heard someone say, "What's wrong for you may be right for someone else, and besides, what's right and wrong changes like everything else. You can't fight these things. You have to just go with the flow." G.K. Chesterton says, "Right is right, even if nobody does it. And wrong is wrong, even if everybody is wrong about it." Right and wrong are not based on fashion and personal preferences. and not on the calendar. They're based on the laws of God, on eternal truth that does not change. And as for going with the flow, G.K. Chesterton says, a dead thing goes with the stream. Only a living thing can go against it. Want more than a minute? Visit us at chesterton.org.
All right, so on the phone this morning with us is the Bishop of the Diocese of Wichita, Kansas, Bishop Carl A. Kemmy. Welcome to the show, Bishop Kemmy.
Thank you. Thank you, Dave. Very good to be with you all.
Well, we're glad to have you today because you are what we consider to be the expert on Father Capon. And I just read an article that said the Wichita Diocese doesn't care how you pronounce it, Capon or Capon. And I believe when he was awarded the Congressional Medal of Honor, the president called him Capon. Is that right?
That's correct. There's some discrepancy or variance in how his last name is pronounced. He's from Czech nationality, and the Czechs here, they settled up kind of north of here in a little town called Pilsen, and they were kind of agrarian, farmers and so on. But they apparently pronounced it Capon.
Mm-hmm.
But the fellow POWs in Korea that were with him all pronounced it Capon. So you hear both sides even here in Wichita, but the more common pronunciation is Capon, and we have a Catholic high school named after him, so it's Capon Mount Carmel High School. So I go with Father Capon. So
now you went to Rome and presented the 1,000-page document, and what's that called?
Correct.
The Posidio,
right? That's a step in the process of hopefully what will lead to canonization. So when they opened the cause, I'd say 7-8 years ago, they began an intense study that culminated in the writing of a paper, which is more like 1,500 pages. It's a huge book, and it's called a Positio.
Positio, and, okay.
And it's just the position or the case that we make to the congregation for the causes of saints, and that gives all the historical documentation and letters and correspondence and all the things that we believe points to the fact that this man was truly a saint. And so then it's my duty and privilege as the current bishop of the Diocese of Wichita, even though I wasn't here when the cause was opened, it's my honor to present that to the Cardinal Prefect in Rome. And that happened a year ago in November. And now the cause is kind of moving forward. It passed the first hurdle, if you will, called the Historical Commission, and that just happened relatively recently. And there was about, I believe there's maybe 12 or 15 historical committee members that read through the documents and studied it, and then they gave their vote to move it onward to the theological commission, which will take the longest time, and we don't anticipate really any final decisions or any more concrete actions for some time because of the backlog of cases and causes that are in Rome now. So we're anticipating several more years, but we're all very hopeful, of course, that it will continue on the course, and soon, hopefully, someday soon, we'll be able to call him blessed, and then eventually maybe Saint Emil Capon.
Now, is he currently called the servant of God, or is he venerable yet?
That's correct. He is called the servant of God.
Okay.
The next title could be bestowed at any time, as I understand it, title of venerable. And then after that, he would be blessed, and then, of course, saint. I'm not entirely certain as to what would qualify him to be considered venerable, but I think there may be another step in there that I'm just not aware of.
Now, Bishop, I was doing some research on Father Capon, and I read somewhere that there a cause for his possible martyrdom due to his death in the POW camp has been brought up. Can you speak on that at all?
I can. In fact, we have an answer to that question. We were hoping that he might be declared a martyr. We believe that he was either killed or allowed to die in the horrible conditions of the POW camp hospital. We do not, I asked the people in Rome, if there was any possibility that he would be declared a martyr, and they very quickly said that would not be possible. The reason being is that no one witnessed it.
Mm-hmm.
So at that moment when he actually took his last breath, no one was there, to give testimony that he in fact died for hatred of the faith, which is the technical definition of a martyr. And because of that, we would not have any really historical record. We do not know if he, in fact, did die a martyr's death. We more or less assume he did because we believe he was a very faithful man, mm-hmm. but that would have perhaps advanced his cause a little faster. But they gave us a pretty definitive, clear answer that because no one was there, and no one actually saw him die, mm-hmm. that we aren't able to declare him a martyr.
Bishop, there's been some controversy about Archbishop Fulton Sheen being canonized, and a lot of it had to do with moving his remains from New York to Peoria. In Father Capon's case, was his remains, were they recovered?
They have not been. We don't have any indication. We think that many of the remains that were of the men that died there were brought. It may be possible they were brought to a common grave in Hawaii, but we're not really sure. But with the advancements in DNA testing and so forth, it's possible that someday we might be able to recover his mortal remains. That would be a wonderful thing, at least to have a place where we could entomb his remains and have a place of pilgrimage mm-hmm. here. But until then, we obviously don't have that. So I've been reading, accounts where prisoners of war and those who died in the Korean conflict now are starting to be recovered and brought back home. And so there's all kinds of hope that might be possible.
Oh, that'd be great, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would be.
I want to ask you too, Bishop, Therese Allen here from St. James and Patrick's,
yes,
her great uncle is buried in Wichita. He was a priest, and he's buried
He was a priest, Father Al Allen, yeah.
That's it. And Therese was the one that kind of talked to us about Father Capon and got our interest in him. Is there a stone in that, or a memorial of some sort in that cemetery for Father Capon?
I'm not sure where you're referring to.
I think it's the priest's burial site there in the cemetery.
Okay, Father Allen is buried out in a little cemetery in Clonmel, which is in the country outside of Wichita.
Okay.
I'm not sure if there is the memorial at Tilson. We have a statue and a crucifix out in Tilson, which is Father Capon's hometown, as a memorial to Father Capon. But for Father Allen is buried, I'm not sure if there is one to Father Capon or not. There might be, but...
I think Mike has a question for you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Bishop, are any of the men that Father Capon served with, are they still with us? And if so, are they involved in the process of his possible canonization?
There are a few left, but they're getting quite elderly and frail. I don't know exactly how many of them, but it might be only maybe one or two or three at the most that are still living. Many of them were interviewed and gave, great testimony that's included in the Positio. Many of them were, I understand several of them were present when he was given the Medal of Honor by President Obama. But I believe that there are only a couple left, and I have not met them personally. I often thought it would be a wonderful experience to meet these men who knew Father Capon firsthand, but they live, I believe they live far away from Wichita. So.
Yeah, my resources here say that Bob McGreevy is one of them, and William Funchess, and Mr. Funchess lives in North Carolina, or South Carolina.
I see.
So
yeah,
They're around, but not close.
our promoter of the cause, Father John Hotze, a priest of this diocese, he has met all of them and done a lot of extensive research with them. So we have their records and their testimony on record. So,
wow, well, it's a great story. And it's a great cause, and we Michael especially has a devotion to Father Capon and. Therese gave him a real nice, it's a challenge coin, isn't it, Mike?
Yeah, very similar. And one of the things that I've always tried to kind of keep in mind is the inscription on that coin. And, you know, it's got Father Capon helping a soldier walk on the march that they were forced to perform. And the inscription reads, "Bear hardship with me." And going through tough times in your life or anything like that, I try to keep that in my mind, that there's people out there who, like Father Capon, are just that willing to go out of their way to help their fellow man, and it really is an amazing thing to think about, especially this time of year. You know, obviously Father Capon and people like him who are out there to this day doing everything they can to help anyone they can.
So Bishop, I know you just got back from the Holy Land. How was that trip?
No, it was wonderful. Great pilgrimage. We had 104 from the Diocese of Wichita that went with us, a few from outside the diocese.
Yeah, I saw some of them were folks that went with us to Rome.
That's right, that's right. Tom and Patrice Rorick were in the group, and but most of them were from here, and of course we visited all the holy sites and had masses in all those places, so it was really a great preparation for Christmas.
Oh yeah, where are you heading off to? Where are you heading off to next?
Oh, not anywhere soon, but next year, each year our diocese does an annual pilgrimage, and next year will be in September. We're going to be going to Fatima, Lourdes, and Compostela. Next year in 2017 is the 100th anniversary of the apparitions of Our Lady of Fatima.
Yes.
So we're going to visit the shrine there and then go on to Lourdes and visit the beautiful Basilica in Compostela dedicated to St. James.
Wow, that sounds
great.
So
it should be a nice pilgrimage.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Well, Father, Bishop, we're hoping that you and your diocese have a blessed Christmas, that you've had a good Advent, and before you go, I was wondering if we could get your blessing.
Sure. Just before I do that, just to extend to all my friends in Decatur and beyond my deepest prayers and best wishes for a happy and blessed Christmas. So I'll give you the blessing now and ask the Lord to bless and keep all of you there and close to his heart and grant you the joy and peace of the Nativity. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. Bishop Carl A. Kimmy from the Wichita Diocese was with us this morning. Thank you so much, Bishop. I know your time is precious, and we're just honored that you were able to join us.
Very welcome, and I look forward to doing it again sometime.
Okay. Have a great Christmas, Bishop.
God bless you. Merry Christmas.
Bye-bye. All right. Well, it's great to talk to him. You know, he is such a holy guy and such a down-to-earth guy. There's nothing that he can't talk about. And you can just see the love of Christ in him. And, of course, obviously the Pope did, because he promoted him. I guess it's a promotion. He appointed him to bishop.